so we'll probably bring in Pradosh. She's the Acharya. What time? We can bring in Kaya.
Acharya just pointed out he might text him, but then come
through. He might text me. But I need to wait for the time.
That's what Acharya was speaking to.
Anyway, it's time to break the curse. I can show you that now.
Yeah.
I got 9. Jagannath Mahaprasad up here. Everyone should always break a codicil with Mahaprasada. You can't break a codicil just by sitting down and starting to eat. No, what am I going to do later? I'm going to try to jump. I'm going to try to push that. I'm going to do that. Here. No, right hand. This is your right hand.
That's right.
I don't know how it is here in Wales with these people I like. Salad bars, you know, which is just like all takeout. I was telling Turaknath, pastry shops, you know, they got places in London, they just sell donuts. And you got these people standing in queue, and it's such an easy thing because you got such a simple product, a one-off product. You just make donuts and, you know, people want quick snacks. So nowadays, you know, I don't know, obviously, people are eating out more and more. There's no question about that. Eating out is where it's at. They don't want to cook. And we've got a good formula in terms of, you know, the restaurant. They can make money. Now, Pragosha's got... You should all go visit. I told Taraknath that when Pragosha's now opening his third restaurant in Dublin. And Dublin's not... How many people in Cardiff? A million people?
400,000.
Oh, it's small. Cardiff's got a million people. And now it's got 3 Govindas, and they're all within 10 minutes walking distance of each other. And he's going to be... He's going to be making, I think 60,000 euros a week from the three. 50,000 euros at a clear 25% profit. So he's bringing in 12,000 euros. He's bringing 15,000 euros profit a month from 3 restaurants. I mean, that's big money. So, you know, you could probably do one. And you should see with him, you know, he tried having a table service on number 2. He just stopped it. It wasn't worth it. It's just, you know, same like you have. People come at the counter, they come, and counter service, they sit down and eat. And his restaurants aren't so big. This number 2 has, I think, 35 seats. His number 1 has 60 or something. And I don't even know. I think this number 3 is also small, like that, 35 seats. They're not like big restaurants, but they're really moving. And I think you should definitely get him involved if you want to do it there. But there's alternatives, and I would certainly wed, you know, takeout service with it. I would design the restaurant like that, that it's got a takeout counter, and that people can come in and go out, you know, without having to wade through the whole restaurant to get something. They've got a takeout counter, maybe through a window or something, and that, you know, they can just take things with them.
So that facility would be just as a profit maker, which is, it's not, you know, like here we've got the temple upstairs in Swansea.
No, you should have a temple upstairs, definitely. Just like in Swansea, temple upstairs with a little added facilities so that you could actually do the combination, like at the Soul Center, preaching room, maybe massage. In the temple room, you can do yoga, so that's no problem. But if you want to have some other room where you got some other sort of services, things like that, astrology, and basically just to bring in people, so that it just brings them into Krishna consciousness. No, you don't just want a rest. He's got two restaurants that are just restaurants, and the third one, he's got a full-on temple upstairs with seminars, temple programs, what have you, and everything over there. It's going to blow up in a minute. And the real thing is to find out what the price is, and I told Taraknath, see if the Indian people will go, how much they'll give to purchase, because they'll be into having the temple. But same thing, I don't think, no deities or anything like that, you know, bring Panchatattva and bus. Hey, can we munch a little munchable in the meantime? I would go for it.
Yeah, I think we need it now. That's what we were just talking about, something. So, I mean, the whole people in the people access us right off the street, rather than going upstairs.
Takeaway service, there'll be less manpower, I think, like for Swansea restaurant, that's quite a high manpower to do that as well.
Are you serving at the tables?
Yeah, we serve.
Oh, you should stop that. Why don't you just get a counter thing?
We have to have a staff.
Talk to Pragosh.
Yeah.
Tables are really labor intensive.
It's one of our problems we got. So we haven't got a high volume of customers when a lot of our preparations we cook them in bulk and then we'll freeze them and do to order, like when defrost a certain amount, cook to order as we orders come
up. Oh, you cook to order.
We have like a subsidized style salads that's done every day, just mount out the other stuff like lasagnas, pizzas, snacks, different things we cook to order, veggie burgers. So it cuts out on the...
Anyway, you know better. Do whatever you think is best. It's working right now, so why fix it?
Yeah. It's increased it, so...
Yeah. I think it's going to increase our prices a bit more.
If it's not broken, don't fix it. But if you open a bigger one, then definitely different. That seems to be what really works.
Yeah. That's maybe we should go, like I said, yeah. A nice counter, nicely designed, beautiful. We could have a
yeah, bakery.
Yeah.
What's there is what's available.
Yeah, that's it.
Cardiff, where there'll be a higher volume of customers coming through, that should be able to work on. Swansea's a very slow city.
Okay, that's good, thanks. Sorry, it's a little quiet already. How far from the airport?
30 minutes.
I feel good not having that fever.
It just gone,
yeah.
You didn't take anything, was it?
No.
Wasn't he my salt which I did?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe leprosy from eating salt and sugar. But it would, it's certainly a, I mean, Cardiff's the place. That was the strategy, is sort of building up, you're getting experience. You really got experience with restaurant. Go see it, discuss with Pragosh. It's just a matter of really getting a good site.
Yeah, that's
I told him if you get a restaurant, then you have no permission problems. If you're getting another place, then you always got to apply to the council, the local people. If you've got other occupants in the building, they got to agree to it as well. So, you know, it's a little difficult, but the easy thing about it is that you don't have to pay goodwill. Otherwise, if you get another restaurant, you buy a building, not only you got to buy the restaurant, you may have to pay for goodwill. It's a good functioning restaurant, that goodwill can be 100, 200,000 euros. And you don't really need the goodwill of a meat restaurant. So it's not cheap. It won't be cheap.
How much should three hostas be in, like a Roman? How did I think from the for independent ones who run a restaurant? And how much should three hostas be involved in? How much should we pass over responsibility to three hostas? I speak like long term as if, like as a, if we could increase our charge, if we took all the supply, we could supply people with different products like that, how big would you want to take that? I don't know,
the issue isn't whether people are grihastas or not, the issue is whether they're reliable. And if they're reliable, productive workers, then like you're doing with your jams and pickles and things like that, and you know, you make money on off their services when you're paying them, then, you know, engage them by all means.
As if we ever got to a stage where we could supply supermarkets, so we could big operation,
fantastic.
Just still be ideally with temple running that, and then.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to be, Poseidon business is great business because, you know, everyone's got to eat.
Yeah.
And the real thing is they also become purified.
Well, they could just be employees, isn't it? Yeah. The temples don't do it.
They're just employed. But, you know, you have to think, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
There's lots of facility, but it's a... It's a big thing. Let's just hop in. What else? Oh, great chief.
Should it be like, for someone who wants to get initiated, should it be a minimum requirement of service that they have to do? Because I'm, you know,
for someone? Well,
to fall into the category.
We don't have ISKCON wise, but yeah, in other words, they should. If someone wants it, initiation, he's not just getting initiated by a guru, but he's getting initiated into ISKCON, and he should be doing some service. That service is either he's, you know, doing services, or he's giving money, or, you know, something on a regular, steady basis. And it's not, you know, it's something that's agreed. It should be agreed with the local authority, but it's not that, well, you know, I'll serve when I want and I don't serve when I don't want, because that's not surrender. So initiation means someone wants to surrender. So what's he doing for spreading Lord Chaitanya's mission? So chanting 16 rounds, following regulative principles, relates to a person's own personal spiritual commitment. But, you know, what about spreading the Krishna consciousness movement? So people should do something. They should have some kind of commitment. Otherwise, it's, you know, everyone sort of joins ISKCON, they get initiated, and then the society that from which they get initiated just is always constantly being depleted and never gets anywhere. So these people, they should think they have an obligation. Now, for an average supporter, or an initiated devotee, they should be, and you just look at it on folio, Prabhupada says they should give 50% of their income. That's what it's about. Now, young people can do that. Devotees who are, say, volunteers, and they went out and go in the world because they can organize their lives like that. People who come to Krishna consciousness who already have a mortgage, this and that, they may not. Fine. But at least then he should give something. He should give something regularly, you know, whatever. And if he can't give money, then he should give time. And in other words, you should. could see that this person's really sincere. He really understands. He's an institution. He's part of an institution, and he's got to help that institution. I'm just going to check my ticket. I hope you are right that the flight does leave.
Yeah, I checked this morning.
Yeah, right.
I got my right hand man on it this morning.
Okay, let me see here. 10:50 is right.
I had a flash.
Now you, I can trust the TV.
I had a flash.
Just
I don't know
checking.
What...
just checking. Okay. So, yeah, but it's 9 o'clock. I mean, you know, we should be getting there. Supposed to be there 2 hours early, you know, nowadays. So, you know, you should get, this is a sincere person, he wants to help ISKCON. He's doing something for the society. And he's working according to his ability. He may not be able to give a farthing, but, you know, he's, in his own way, he's giving the most that he can. Doing the most that he can. On the other hand, if someone's got money, then he should, you know, like someone, for instance, like Marcel. I hope he gets to hear this.
He
went out, and, you know, he went out more or less from being a brahmachari. So he should have structured his life in such a way that he's giving from day one. In other words, he doesn't start by setting up, well, I need this, I need that. But the first thing is, you know, I am where I am in life. As a devotee, because of Krishna consciousness, you know, I know what the goal of life is. So, my first obligation is, all right, I'm going to start off by giving 50% or 20% of whatever I get, you know, whether it means that I have to live in a smaller place or I have less, you know, I'm not going to go traveling off to Hawaii or so on. I call myself. What else?
It's all good. It's going to cover it all good.
Huh?
That's covered all the questions.
Okay. Anything else to add on? That's it.